Well, before we open up the Word of God this morning and spend some time once again in the deep end of the pool as we find out what is wise for us to know about God, as we consider what He's revealed about Himself, let's go ahead and commit our time to Lord in prayer. Father, give us the ability to pause and to see just how great You are. Sometimes that's difficult because of the things that we allow to get in the way, things that are not bad in themselves, but can pull our attention, our energies, our resources in a different direction. And Father, as we take a look at Your Word, it's very clear that there is no one like You, that You are the God above all little g gods, because there is only one God, and that is You. And You are not a God who is small. You're not a God that's inherited from someone else something. You are the Creator God of all things. Without You, nothing exists. And that alone is enough for us to step back and say, how great is our God? But Father, Lord, You've given us even more to chew on, to contemplate as we open up Your Word this morning, as we take a look at the book of Proverbs, and four more attributes as we consider what You've revealed to us. They are important attributes because they all tie together to give us a full picture of why we can step back and realize that no matter who we are, where we are, You know who we are. And You know what our needs are and have the ability to supply them without hindrance, and that You are with us wherever we go. And so, Father, may that be true as those truths ring in our hearts and our minds, and we commit this time to You and pray these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever considered what happens every minute around the world? Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what happens every minute, because we would be here I don't know even how long. But let's just say I come up with a short list just to give you a small cross-section of what happens in 1 minute around the world. 250 babies are born, 105 people die, 116 people get married, 500 hours of videos uploaded to YouTube, 40,000 Google searches are conducted, 200 million emails are sent, 1.5 million social media posts are made, and Amazon delivers approximately 1,200 packages. That is just a few things that happen every minute around the world. And as we consider who God is, as we took a look at last week, God as the creator of all things, not only the world, but everything in it, including mankind, we need to step back and see these four attributes that we're going to take a look at this morning, which is God's omniscience, His omnipresence, His omnipotence, and His sovereignty. Because otherwise, we could have a creator God that is just good at making stuff, and doesn't know what to do with the stuff He makes, or is, you know, unaware of what He made. And so today we're going to have an opportunity to step back and really realize how great our God is, and He is much bigger than you thought. And will continue as you grow deeper in your faith to overwhelm you with how big He is, and that's what it should be like. If you are underwhelmed by God, then you do not know the God of Scripture. And hopefully today as you leave, you will be that much more full, realizing who God is. And so with that said, hold on, because this is something that will probably make your head spin. I had an enjoyable time studying in preparation for this week. Learned a couple things myself as I consider these attributes. And so with that said, let's go ahead and dive right into the omniscience of God. Pastor Ray Pritchard says, in classical theology, the doctrine of God's omniscience means that God knows all things, past, present, and future, real and potential, and he knows them all at the same time. He not only knows what was and what is, he also knows what will be. More than that, he knows everything that could be but is not. You ever consider that about God before? And he knows all of that simultaneously. There's no wait as you look at your computer and you're opening up that program and you get the little circle in the center of the screen and it's just going around and around and around and you know it's there, but it's just having a hard time processing all that information. And that is nothing like who God is. If you think about God in relation to what he knows, it should overwhelm you and help you to see him as God. And to realize that he knows everything that was and is and will be, and knows that all at the same time. Think about how hard it is to juggle, say, three things in your life with some sort of continuity or, you know, fullness where you walk away and say, you know what? That was the very best thing that could have been done by me. That's those three things. And as I mentioned just in a few minutes ago, think about all those things that happened just in a minute. God knows all of that. Because God is omniscient. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So there is not a place where God is not, where his eyes cannot see. In Proverbs 22, verse 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge. In other words, he preserves it, but he overthrows the words of the traitor or the one who deceives or the liar. Because knowledge is very important, and knowledge can be false as well as true. And being able to differentiate between the two is where wisdom comes in. Because there is a lot of lies that the traitor puts forth. And the thing is that there's a lot of people that will put a lot of information out there that is just knowledge, but not good knowledge. And so where do we go to find out, or where would we take comfort in knowing that God himself keeps watch over knowledge? So I can step away as I take a look at this book and know without a shadow of a doubt that God kept watch over all of those writers of the Bible because the Spirit was the one that led them. And as you go down through history, God is going to safeguard, because this is of greatest importance, because this is the very word of God. And he communicated it so that he may reveal who he is. And one of the things he wants us to know is that he doesn't let knowledge just go off on its own. Instead, he is the truth itself. Proverbs 15:11 says, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? Sheol representing hell, Abaddon representing the deceiver or the destroyer. So think about the very farthest, the very darkest, the very place that your eyes cannot see, because it is in the unseen realm, God sees with clarity, 100%. Because even darkness is light, because God is, we sung today, and I'm going to misremember the lyrics, wraps himself in light. There you go. Because he is light. And that light shines into every dark corner, every crevice, every spot that we can see with the naked eye, and every place that we cannot. Because he knows all things. Proverbs 27:20 says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. Job 26:6 says, Sheol is naked before God, and Abaddon has no covering. So even those things which represent evil, darkness, and things that we cannot see with the naked eye are laid bare naked before the Creator God of all. And it's important for us to be able to embrace this, because for God to know that which is hidden to the eyes of mankind, in other words, hell and the destroyer, how much more the hearts of the children of man. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, you probably have memorized. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Well, that seems like to me that for you and I, it's impossible. That's one of those dark places, because we can put up an appearance of that which is not true. We can be an actor or an actress in a play for other people to think that we have everything together, but yet we're completely falling apart on the inside. Well, is this a place where God can't see? Verse 10 goes on to say, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." So even the heart, which is deceitful to you and I, deceitful in ourselves, is something that God sees right through. Not right through so that he doesn't see it, but there's nothing hidden. There's nothing deceitful for him because he sees it as it is. And it says he gives them according to their ways and the fruit of their deeds. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3 echoes this. It says, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." See, we cannot escape God's sight in relation to our hearts, in relation to our attitudes, in relation to anything that we may think. I can hide that from you, you can hide that from me, but we cannot hide from the all-seeing eyes of the Lord God Almighty. That's why it tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, that he knows everything. Everything without exception, there is nothing outside of the gaze of Almighty God. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, when we pray, guess what? God knows your need before you even ask it. How amazing is that? I can't even get a recall from, you know, moments ago, let alone here's God telling, you know, when I pray to him, when I come and commune with him and enjoy that fellowship, he already knows what I'm going to ask. Because he has to. Because he is God Almighty. And he sees everything. Jesus in Luke chapter 12, as he was warning his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees, says in verses 2 and 3, "Nothing is covered up and that will not," I'm sorry, let me start over. "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." How is that possible? You're trying to tell me that even in that darkness, what I say is as light to God? You mean the darkness does not hide my intentions, does not hide me from the all-seeing eye of God Almighty? Things I've whispered in rooms. See, the thing is that we have to remember is we cannot escape God. Sometimes we foolishly think we can, or pretend as if God does not see that, but know this, he sees everything. There is nothing outside of God's purview. If you watch the Lord of the Rings movies that came out over the last, I guess it's probably been at least a decade now or more, J.R.R. Tolkien, wrote the Lord of the Rings, and you remember there was a character in that book that was called Sauron, and there was the Eye of Sauron, and that eye was basically the visible presence and power of Sauron gazing through everywhere, trying to find the one ring to rule them all. And it was said in the writing that it was Sauron's eye was one that pierced clouds, shadow, earth, and flesh. So beyond what humans could see was this eye of Sauron, but guess what? It wasn't all-knowing, and it wasn't all-seeing, because that eye had to turn one direction or another to be able to see in the direction that he could see. Something would catch his attention, and then he would look that direction. He had a limited range, and it could only see what he directly looked at. Matter of fact, in the movie, people could actually avoid being seen by the eye's gaze. But that's not God. Don't think for one moment that just because you are in some dark place behind closed doors, even if you're in a lead-lined vault, God sees you. Because his gaze pierces through everything simultaneously in every direction, and his holiness, which is light, shines everywhere. So for him, even darkness itself is light. That is Almighty God, and that's why we sing how great is our God. Now, that can be a humbling, sobering thought, and it should be, because that means that when we willfully sin, we're still sinning in God's presence. And something else that's a reality, and we'll take it even a step further, because the Holy Spirit is God, is that the Holy Spirit is with you because he indwells you, because he is the seal until the day of redemption. So you cannot sin outside of God's presence because the Holy Spirit indwells you. But there's no place you can go where God is not, where God cannot see. That is the omniscience of Almighty God. Second, the omnipresence of God, which really, as you heard me speaking, you heard me overlapping a little bit, but these two attributes are tied together. Because in order to, you know, be all-seeing, it makes perfect sense that God must be also everywhere present. Omnipresence means that God is present everywhere at the same time. So just like he knows everything and sees everything at the same time, he is also everywhere present at the same time. And don't confuse this with pantheism, which is the belief that the universe itself is God, because that is not what the scriptures teach. The creator is separate from his creation. The creator has eternally existed, and he spoke and it came into existence. The creation is not an extension where God just spread himself out and the universe or the creation is him. That is not the case. But know this, that God must be everywhere present, otherwise his creation would be greater than he is. And that cannot be. God didn't create the creation, and the creation is bigger than him, and therefore, really, then the creation becomes God, because it's bigger, and that's not the case. God created it. God sustains it. And that's important for us to understand and to see, because man will twist that. Did you know that the observable universe is 93 billion light years in diameter? In case you're wondering what a light year is, the light year is the distance light can travel on or in one Earth year, which is 5.88 trillion miles. Now, we're talking in trillions now because of, unfortunately, how little the U.S. dollar is. But can you imagine traveling that distance? And you still have not even gone far enough to exhaust what God can see and where God is. God is present in all time and space, but not limited to any time or space. Because the moment that God is limited or stuck somewhere, then he ceases to be God. And that's not who he is. I like what Paul Little said. He says, God is not like a substance spread out in a thin layer over all the earth. All of him is in Chicago, in Calcutta, in Cairo, in Caracas, at one and at the same time. So don't think because God is everywhere present that somehow God becomes less of himself, or that God is spread so thin that how can God even know what's going on in my life? Because that would be wrong thinking. He is still God, fully everywhere, at every moment, for all of time and eternity, and bound by none of it. Because that's who God is. That's why he is God. And know this, that as we think about God's presence, we are always in the presence of God, without exception. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." So you're trying to tell me that my ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he is the one that ponders all my paths. Well, I'm living proof that that is exactly who God is and how God works. Because I had a path in mind, and God completely changed that. Hebrews 4:13 says, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." See, there's no place you can go to escape God's presence, his holiness. Whether you suppress that truth or not, don't be fooled into thinking that somehow because you believe something that it's true. What you need to do is go back to the word of truth and find out if it's true or not. Because we can be deceived, we can be misled, we can allow our emotions to be our guide, we can allow our intellect to be our guide, we can allow our wisdom to be our guide, but when it's devoid of the Creator God of all things, in whom we move and have our being, then that changes everything. Even when you sin, you are still in the presence of God. Isaiah 59:2 says that your iniquities or your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." Now, does that mean that somehow where there's wickedness going on that God is not present? No. Which the saying is that we as human beings are not experiencing that presence because sin has become a hindrance for us to experience that presence or to acknowledge or to see that God exists. Sin has become that blockade for what is true and replaced it with a lie. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says this about God's omnipresence. He says, "If God is omnipresent, he must needs be omniscient. But he is omnipresent. This supposes the infinite and the immensity of his being, from which follows the ubiquity of his presence." Ubiquity means the fact of his appearing everywhere, of his presence. So God is everywhere present. "Heaven and earth include the whole creation, and the Creator fills both. He not only knows both and governs both, but he fills both. Every part of creation is under God's intuition and influence." So God is omnipresent, and he must be omniscient, because those two come together so that God is everywhere present and knows all things. Otherwise, we'll find that when we get to the fourth attribute, that that could not be true, that God is sovereign over all things. Jeremiah 23:23-24 echo what Matthew Henry said. "Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" And the answer to those rhetorical questions is that, yes, God is everywhere present, and he fills all of his creation, because his creation is not bigger than he is. He is bigger than the creation. He must be. Otherwise, he is not God. David in Psalm 139 echoed this in verse 7, where he says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?" The answer is nowhere. You could go to the bottom of the ocean, to the top of the tallest mountain. You could go to the farthest reaches of the universe. And guess what? You cannot escape God's presence, because he is everywhere present. Which brings us to our third attribute this morning, and that is the omnipotence of God. So God sees everything and is everywhere present, which are good things, but unless he is omnipotent, then that puts him into a pickle. God's omnipotence means that God has power over all things at all times and in all ways. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us this way in chapter 21, verse 30. "No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord, because he is almighty, all-powerful. He answers to no one." And we see this exhibited in three ways that we'll consider this morning. One is he preserves the creation itself. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "He upholds the universe by the word of his power." Psalm 54:4 says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life." See, God has to be all-powerful, almighty, in order to see everything and to be everywhere present. All three of these attributes come in simultaneously to speak to God's amazing fullness. We can see this extending to earthly leaders. Jesus, as he's talking to Pilate in John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11, Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And what does Jesus answer in verse 11? "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." Ouch. That set Pilate in his place. Whether he believed it or not, who knows? But we have the opportunity to believe that this morning, that everything we are comes from Almighty God, comes from above. And something else you should understand about God's omnipotence, the fact that he has all power, is that it's consistent with his holiness. And one of the examples that we're given in Scripture is in Numbers 23:19, where it says, "God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. He has said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" See, God's power is defined, regulated, and empowered by his holiness. So in other words, God's power is not going to all of a sudden go and run amok. He is not going to go and do something that is outside of his character. I like what J.I. Packer said in relation to this, because as we think about this, there are things that God cannot do, but that does not mean that he is not almighty. Listen to what he says. He says, "There are many things that God cannot do. He cannot do what is self-contradictory or nonsensical, like squaring the circle. Nor can he act out of character. God has a perfect moral character, and it is not in him to deny it. He cannot be capricious, unloving, random, unjust, or inconsistent. Just as he cannot pardon sin without atonement, because that would not be right. So he cannot fail to be faithful and just in forgiving sins that are confessed in faith and in keeping all other promises he has made. Moral instability, vacillation, and unreliability are marks of weakness, not of strength. But God's omnipotence is supreme strength, making it impossible that he should lapse into imperfection of this sort." So did you catch that? God is all-powerful, but he's not going to do something contrary to his holy character, because that would be unholy of him and would show a corruption of that power, which God will never exhibit. And lastly, the sovereignty of God, which, as we think about God's sovereignty, we've spoken about this subject multiple times. And just in short, God's sovereignty is his absolute authority, dominion, and rule over all that he has made. So in order to exercise sovereignty over all that he has made, which is everything that we see with a naked eye, everything we don't see with a naked eye, everywhere, you know, man has traveled as far as what he can measure as the observable universe and beyond. In order for him to exercise sovereignty over it, he must be omniscient, in other words, knowing all things. He must be omnipresent, which means that he is everywhere present, as well as all powerful, to be able to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished so that he is the just judge of all things, both what was, what is, and what is to come. See, they all come together. So in order for God to be sovereign over his creation, he has to be all three of those other things in their perfection. Otherwise, there's no way for him to be sovereign over it. If he's not everywhere present, how's he going to know what's going on everywhere? If he can't see through the false intentions of man, how could he possibly judge man? See, as you begin to understand these and unwrap these attributes, they're amazing in and of themselves individually, but when they all come together, they show us the perfect God of all, who need not change, who is perfect in all of his ways. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Same chapter, verse 4, "The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble." Same chapter, verse 33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." And then Proverbs 19:4, which says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man," and we all make many plans, don't we? "But it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand," because he is sovereign over all of his creation. This goes back to even what we talked about a couple weeks back when we talked about the will of God. We talked about his sovereign will or his decretive will. We said it was only known to him and except what he chooses to reveal to us, which we have in his word. But it controls all aspects of existence, including both good and evil actions, and can never be hindered or resisted. In other words, nothing happens outside of it, because that is what makes God God. If God is not sovereign over all things that he has made, which is everything, then he is not God. He must be sovereign. He must know all things. He must be everywhere present. He must have all power. So how should this inform our lives today? Well, let me encourage you with this. As you look at your personal walk with the Lord, your personal existence in the presence of the God we just talked about, that without question is great. God's omniscience knows what our needs are. God's omnipotence has the power to supply our needs. God's omnipresence is exactly, or God is exactly where he needs to be to meet our need. And God's sovereignty is God orchestrating and accomplishing what is necessary to provide our need. Did you catch all that? God's not incomplete. God did not miss the mark. God is not somehow failing to meet our needs in some capacity because he is lacking in power or presence or knowledge or sovereignty. The complete opposite is true. He is meeting every need. And that's something that you can know as a promise from God. And that should affect every aspect of your life. That means that no matter who you are, what you have, what stage you are in life, this is the same consistent God throughout all generations because he is simultaneously everywhere, past, present, and future, because he is the God of eternity, but yet he is everywhere present and knows you specifically. Even so much so to know what you need and then have the ability to give you what you need when you need it. So that means he has to be everywhere with us. He needs to know me better than I know myself, which is no small feat when I consider myself. But see, this is the God of eternity, and this is wise for you to know. That's why it's in the wisdom literature. I close with this quote from John Newton. He says, "If the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us, his arm over us, his ear open to our prayer, his grace sufficient, his promise unchangeable." That is who God is. And if you can stop for a moment in the busyness of life to step back and see how great our God is, it will overwhelm you, it will fill you, it will draw you closer. It will give you a desire to abide and to believe and to obey and to have faith in. Not even affected by the circumstances around or in. No matter where you are, God knows you that well. You will not escape his gaze. You cannot hide from him. And it's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Amen.